This is BI Radio.
People said it was impossible, but it's never been done does not mean that it can't be done. That's not a reason. That's just noise.
So what retailers and CP companies are trying to do is to get ahead of that chain and understand how to connect with their customers.
And there are really no quick fixes, so you need to kind of be on the ground and listening to what the business is doing and adjust accordingly.
Hi there, and welcome to BI Radio. I'm Ken Seeley. On the show today, a special focus on retail and a special guest from the world of Sports Illustrated. We went shopping for insights into consumer trends and retailers' responses and came back with some surprises. Kelly Allen talks to IBM executive Patricia Waldron about retail responses to smarter consumers and putting every department on the same performance path. Kelsey Howard talks to Jim Mulholland about integrating ERP data at arts and crafts giant Creativity Inc. But first up, Chief Technology Officer Don Campbell talks to swimsuit model turned billion-dollar businesswoman Kathy Ireland about the business benefits of Twitter.
Hi, I'm Don Campbell, and with me today is a very special guest. From her offices in West Hollywood, California, I'm joined by Kathy Ireland. Now, you may know her from her various magazine covers from Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition and from Vogue, or you might know her from Dancing with the Stars. She was on this season's episodes there, or from various other movies or TV appearances. What you might not know about her is she's a very successful entrepreneur and the CEO of a $1.4 billion home furnishing design empire. Very successful person, a very busy person, and I'm proud to call her my friend. Thank you for joining us, Kathy.
Oh, Don, thank you. It is a joy and a privilege to be here with you today. Thank you.
Well, certainly the pleasure is all mine. You've been so busy lately, and we've been following you on Dancing with the Stars and all these other various things that you're into right now. How do you make it all work? The schedule must be crazy.
Oh, I think everyone's schedule is crazy, everybody I speak with, and it's really just a daily challenge to balance the schedule, to honor the priorities and just keep it going. And when I don't, it's a mess, it's a disaster. Some days are better than others. I work with a great team, though, and I really believe when you treat the people you work with the way you'd want your family members to be treated, there's no limit that you can accomplish together. There's no limit to what you can do. And most of us have been together over 20 years. It's really great. We don't agree on everything, and that's good. I love good, healthy debate. But when it comes to really those core values, integrity, how people are treated, we're on the same page.
Excellent. So tell us a little bit about your business. A lot of people don't realize that your business is so big and so successful. How did it get started?
We started our brand in 93 with a pair of socks. And, you know, back in the last century, I did some modeling. And I always knew I belonged on the other side of the camera. I tried and failed at so many businesses before beginning our brand. And while other people were maybe spending their money on art or cars or clothes, I was spending my money on people, investing in a team. I know my strengths and I'm painfully aware of my weaknesses, and I was investing in an art director, a creative director, an expert in marketing and production, and just putting this team of people together. And socks seemed like a really great place to start. It wasn't obvious, and I liked that. People said it was impossible, can't start a brand with a pair of socks. It's never been done. But it's never been done does not mean that it can't be done. That's not a reason. That's just noise. And I know in life you've got to turn down that noise of negativity in order to move forward with the plans for your dreams. And we celebrated when we sold our 100 millionth pair of socks. And I'm just so grateful to particularly the women out there who embrace our brand, and they've turned down the noise of stereotyping, and she keeps me accountable. She's tough, and I love that. She communicates with me loud and clear what she wants, what she doesn't want, and that's my boss. And the key to our success has been listening to her and implementing what she tells me to do.
So your brand and your company seems different to me, and I know that you don't necessarily sell into the places that you could make the most money. That's not the most important thing for you. So what do you use as your metrics for the business? Where is your business growing, and where can you see it being in the future?
We're a baby brand. We've got such a long way to go, but we're building it carefully and strategically. We've worked really hard to earn the trust of our customer. We've got to work even harder to maintain that trust. We're a design and marketing firm, and today we design and market over 15,000 products sold in 28 countries. 29. Got a new one today.
Oh, wow.
It's a great joy. When I was a kid, I changed my mind many times what I wanted to be when I grew up. One thing that stayed consistent, I knew I wanted to be a mom. And so to be able to be of service, it's really a great joy. When I became a mom for the first time, I learned very quickly how underserved she is, that woman is. And you talked about retail and where we are. That's important. I hear from our customer, if she has a bad retail experience, I hear about it loud and clear. And that's why I'm very involved in all areas of our business, including retail. We research who would be a good fit, who would be a good retail partner, and then we ask for the opportunity to audition our products with them for some floor space, because it's very valuable and it's tough in today's economy. We appreciate every inch of floor space that we get.
So I want to talk about how you reach out to some of your customers and your potential customers. And I see you very active on the social networking sites like Twitter. How has that sort of changed the way that you can touch an average consumer that you might not be able to do that in sort of a one-way push mechanism through a commercial or something? How's Twitter changed it for
you? Twitter's amazing. I mean, I'm here with you. Thank you to Twitter. So that's pretty incredible. And having an opportunity to engage with people from all over the world and learn from them, as far as business is concerned, I love the fact that people are so honest and direct, and they let me know when they like something and when they don't like something. And that's very useful for business.
So how do you communicate with people at a 140 characters at a time and make sure that you get your point across and you're not misinterpreted?
Well, you've got to be able to communicate your message in a way that will work with everyone.
So would you suggest that something like Twitter is a good tool to use for small businesses that want to reach out to customers?
I think Twitter is excellent for small businesses, for everybody, really. But small businesses, there's so much to learn. It connects you with the world, and it's really limitless possibilities. And it's a wonderful opportunity to learn about others. And you've got to be interesting. You've also got to be interested and really want to know what other people are up to, what's going on with them. And it really makes life so interesting. I love that.
So what's next for Kathy Ireland? What do you have on the go right now?
Well, we are getting ready to do a lot of filming for our business, a lot of commercials and video greetings. Got a book coming out next week, and it's number 6, Real Solutions for Busy Moms, 52 God-Inspired Messages from My Heart. And this follows the most recent book, Real Solutions for Busy Moms, Your Guide to Success and Sanity.
Kathy, we really appreciate the time that you spent with us today and sharing some of your insights,
Don.
and telling us a little bit about what you use technology for and how and about your business. We really appreciate it. So all the best, and we'll be looking for you on our TV sets in the future.
Oh, well, Don, thank you.
You can find out more about Kathy Ireland and her company at kathyireland.com.
Become a BI champion with the IBM Cognos Champions Kit. Discover how to increase the ROI of your investment, gain visibility for results, and increase your own profile within your organization. You'll find resources for every phase of your deployment, from setting strategy to driving adoption. Find out more online at ibm.com/cognos/champion. Interviews, insights, and opinions on performance management. You're listening to BI Radio.
Hi, I'm Kelsey Howarth. Today, you're going to listen in as I speak with Jim Mulholland, Vice President of IT at Creativity, Inc., a leading designer, marketer, and distributor of arts and crafts products. Here, he shares how the company united data in three disparate systems, all with different definitions, to create a performance management platform for the entire organization. Learn how sales, finance, operations, supply chain professionals, and more are using the system to improve turn rates and take the drudgery out of the monthly close. And learn some of their best tips for a successful implementation. Could you tell us a little bit about Creativity, Inc.?
Sure. Creativity is a leading designer, marketer, and distributor of basic crafting, beading, and scrapbooking products. We sell proprietary designs and brands, as well as commodity products. And our clients are primarily national craft chains, mass merchandisers, and independent craft retailers. And we are one of the top five suppliers to the craft market.
And what were some of the central issues or pains that your organization faced before IBM Cognos software?
There certainly were several. We were, generating reports from three separate ERP systems and accounting packages. And, as the reports were being produced from these operational systems, they were limited to standard formats, mostly actually hard copy and sometimes, in some cases, green bar type reports. But in any event, we needed to kind of remove the veil on the data so we could arrange it the way we wanted and really report on only those metrics that really matter. And the other key issue, I guess, was also standardization as far as definitions and one system had gross margin defined a certain way and a second system had defined that way and even a third system had maybe even a different slant on it. And so the whole idea of standardizing kind of one version of the truth was one of the key goals, and it was an issue was an issue and then a key goal to solve by moving to IBM Cognos.
And what was your strategy for finding a solution? Did you look at other vendors, and why did you select Cognos?
Yes, actually, we did look at other vendors. I had experience with various reporting tools over the years, and I selected the three that I thought were the most appropriate for our organization. And so what I did was we had a proof of concept established with them where we provided a limited amount of our data in our system to them and asked them to show how they would build a solution that would allow us to meet and surpass the objectives that we had presented in front of them. And this was all done within a very quick turnaround time of, say, 3 weeks or a month time frame. And everybody came back with their solutions, and it was quite clear once those solutions came back that IBM Cognos was really the one that was the best prepared to solve our problems. They really showed an end-to-end solution from the ETL layer to the reporting layer to the analysis to even the framework modeling design. They really had a great solution from beginning to end and really showed that they could make our data, work for us and provide the information we needed to solve our problem. So, once the solutions came back, it was pretty clear that the direction for us was the best direction for us was IBM Cognos.
You've mentioned a few key departments that are real power users of Cognos. Is it used across the organization?
It actually is. I mean, there's hardly a department that won't use it. I mean, I guess human resources may come to mind. They're probably the lightest user of it, but for the most part, sales, finance, operations, supply chain, inventory management, just you name it. They're very much involved in using the system. We started with sales, which is a common way to go. It seems to be the lowest hanging fruit for most organizations. They know what they want there. And then we moved on to other areas and rolled out various analyses and dashboards for them. But as it stands now, it's highly penetrated throughout the whole organization.
And what was the outcome in terms of new efficiencies gained, cost savings, or better information?
Well, for example, in operations, improved turn rates, the way they actually turn orders out in a day, and basically the whole order fulfillment process. And I guess another area where we gained efficiency was the finance team. You know, performs a close, a financial close every month, and of course the end of the year. And that close used to take anywhere from 14 to 21 days, and usually to take closer to 21 days into the next month to finish. Well, now it takes them about 5 or 6 days tops. You know, it's just it's been fascinating how that's really kind of taken the drudgery out of the month end close away, and really allowed them to get onto more operationally significant things within their department.
Any lessons learned along the way?
Oh yeah, there were a few. Business intelligence implementations are really a journey, and there's not a destination, so there's really no end. You kind of evolve with the business, and there are really no quick fixes. So you need to kind of be on the ground and listening to what the business is doing and adjust accordingly. So that was an important aspect. Projects must have the support of the executive team. Otherwise, they'll basically die on the vine. Without the backing of the highest levels you can get. And for us, it was pretty much the CFO was behind us over all the years we've done it. Another thing I would say is you should certainly avoid what I call the big bang approach. You know, divide projects into manageable chunks, and focus on areas that are most critical to your company's survival and ability to thrive.
Any other tips that you'd give your peers on how to have a successful implementation?
Yeah, I would say start small and focused, and then grow. So most deliverables will be, for me, I think a 60-day mark is a kind of a good kind of benchmark. And that if anything takes much more than that, especially if you're in the 6 months, 9 months for anything to change, I think then people grow disinterested and there's going to be lack of momentum. So I think that, having those targeted deliverables, keep them smaller things more often, I think is important versus the big bang approach. I would also would say that, utilize expert partners to accelerate the project, I think, and also build internal competency. For most companies, I think you're going to need to maybe get some help from people who've done this before to really make sure you make the right early decisions and accelerate the project and really deliver things quickly and efficiently.
So what has been the user feedback?
Initially, I think we had a lot of people who were skeptical because they had other kind of experiences elsewhere. So when we started doing it, it actually got to the point where, they kind of expected it. And all of a sudden 30 days was, obviously we had to get quicker than that, to deliver things even faster. So, the business, for better or for worse, changes every day. And, we need to kind of be aware of that and adjust our thinking and what we deliver to make sure that we're on top of our game. And so in the end was like, okay, well, if we said something's going to take a week, they said, well, how about 2 days? We got kind of caught in our own speed there. That's fine. We actually had them believing in what we could do. And for us, you want a happy customer. Our internal customer was certainly happy.
For more information on IBM Cognos solutions for consumer products companies, please visit ibm.com/cognos/consumer products.
IBM Cognos Virtual Performance Event is the best way to discover practical strategies, proven best practices, and actionable insights to help you get more value from your BI and performance management solutions from the convenience of your own desk. Better performance, better business. Register now at ibm.com/cognos/virtual performance.
Insights on performance management from the people who shape the industry.
Next up, we're joined by Kelly Allen and Patricia Waldron. Patricia Waldron is the worldwide executive responsible for IBM's business analytics solution for retailers. Here, she and Kelly discuss the key pain points retailers are experiencing and the level of maturity of their performance management systems. Listen to find out how retailers are harnessing new intelligence and analytics to help them understand data, detect trends, and garner real customer insight to make better decisions.
Thank you for joining us, Patricia. My pleasure. Let's start by looking at the year ahead. What are some of the key pain points for retailers in 2010?
I think what's happening is as we come out of an economic downturn, retailers and CP companies are really trying to position themselves to take advantage of consumers' renewed interest in spending, especially in retail discretionary spend. So it's really about meeting the demands of the smarter consumer. What we really find is that consumers now are more instrumented, interconnected, and intelligent customers. And technology is changing the way that consumers interact, obtain information, and purchase goods and services. So what retailers and CP companies are trying to do is to get ahead of that chain and understand how to connect with their customers, how to leverage all the data that they have in their organizations to make sure that they understand customer buying patterns, preferences, the way products sell with one another so that they can deliver the right services and products to the consumer. Because there's lots of choices for consumers on where and how they buy, and retailers are interested in maximizing the consumer's visits to their shops or websites or however channel they reach their customer.
Okay, how are analytics helping them?
Everybody has a ton of data, and the key is to understand that data, to detect patterns in it, to get it to the right people as quickly as possible to make decisions. And a couple different types of things that people are doing is, one is that they're wanting to look at their organization a little bit differently through the lens of a customer. And what analytics allows you to do is to get to know your customers at a deep and meaningful level, how to build offerings and target your communications based on real consumer insights. And people do that with customer analytics and market basket analysis. So people are just using analytics to understand how the business is doing, why things are performing as expected, whether that's they're performing better or worse, and then having the ability to take corrective action as quickly as possible.
I wonder if you could talk about what level of maturity retailers are at in terms of using analytics, using planning and performance management.
Everybody has some ways of managing their business, of understanding performance, of doing plans and so forth. As people move up the maturity curve, they go from more manual processes where perhaps they've got information in lots of different places that have to be compiled by a person into an Excel worksheet so that people can understand, through the management, can understand performance. This is usually a process that's not always accurate and takes a lot of effort. So as they move up the curve, they automate some of these processes. The next area where we see people taking advantage of technology is instead of just having information, they'll do things like have alerts. They'll have exceptions. Instead of looking through lots of different drilling information, they'll be surfaced with the things that are above or below their benchmark, or only be notified when there's an action to take. So we see that as the next step. And then the last step is pervasive analytics, where it's built into every process and people are, based on their role, empowered to do whatever it takes to make their particular part of the organization successful and ensure that it's collaborative so that it is in line with the company's overall sets of goals. And I think if you talk about maybe a stage 1 to 5, most retailers are probably in the 2 and 3 area. Where they've got some automation, but maybe they aren't taking advantage of some of the newer technologies that we discussed earlier around taking advantage of social networking, predicting and understanding customer behavior, and some of the advanced planning capabilities where you model scenarios and start with a better plan.
So as a consumer, how would my shopping experience be enhanced by a company employing analytics?
Several different ways. One of the things that I think is the kind of the first step for retailers to do a better job of connecting with customers and taking advantage of analytics to do it is they would be able to offer you more targeted promotion. So if you're a single person with a dog, you won't be getting cat food coupons anymore, right? So I think what they would be able to do is and smart retailers are doing this right now. They understand a little bit more about their customers, and using predictive capabilities, they can offer you more targeted promotions, better information, so you have a better shopping experience in the stores, and you're going to get more meaningful merchandise based on what your profile is. Some of the other things that people are being able to do, the whole idea of mobile shopping. In most cases, people are using technologies to browse the web or do research prior to purchase. So by being able to connect your behavior across channels, chains can do a much better job of giving you a good shopping experience, giving you the information you need, and actually managing merchandise. A lot of people are using analytics and technologies to do click and pick, which you could order something online and pick it up at the store, or in reverse, if a store didn't have particular merchandise that you want, you'd be able to order it and have it delivered to your home. So using analytics, I think, just really helps not only the retailers understand customer behavior, but it helps customers have a better shopping experience.
Why would a retailer choose IBM for analytics and performance management?
The reason why people choose IBM technology, and you know, over 600 chains around the world have chosen our technologies to help them, is that it's very key for retailers to be able to start their journey on performance management wherever they'd like. And we talked earlier about the maturity of analytics. I think the key thing is that IBM can help people at every step of the way, whether it's cleansing your data, whether it's analyzing data, whether it's doing plans, whether it's doing something much more complex, like understanding store clusters and customer preferences and those types of things. Because we've got tools, we've got blueprints, we've got accelerators, we've got proven practices around all of these areas. And we can help retailers along any step of the journey, wherever they are, in whatever way makes sense for them based on their business goals.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Patricia.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.
It's a distinctly new take on business analytics. It's all at the new Performance Perspectives blog. Surprising insights, exclusive interviews, and a unique tone that's all its own. Check it out now in the blog section of ibm.com/cognos.
Well, that's a wrap. I'd like to thank our guests today. From KathyIreland.com, Kathy Ireland. From Creativity, Inc., Jim Mulholland. And from IBM, Patricia Waldron. Thanks as well to our segment producers, Don Campbell, Kelsey Howarth, and Kelly Allen. And finally, thanks to our head producer, composer, and audio engineer, Derek Schreiner. Visit us at RadioCognos.com or follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/IBMCognos. And use the hashtag BI Radio. We're also on Facebook at facebook.com/IBM Cognos Software. Thanks for listening. I'm Ken Seeley, and we'll see you in about 6 weeks.
Think big, start small with IBM Cognos Express, the breakthrough BI and planning solution purpose-built for mid-sized companies. Get integrated reporting, planning, and analysis. It's easy to install at a price you can afford. Find out more with demos, videos, and even a free 30-day download at ibm.com/cognos.
Performance management you can listen to. This is BI Radio.